Welcome to Advanced Biblical Foundations. In this particular session, I want to look at the story of, we call it the prodigal son, which actually is about an amazing father. And this is the account is in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. I'm going to read through this, and as I read through it, I'm going to make comments as we go. Unlike some where I would read the entire passage and come back and comment, I want to sort of walk through this story. Now, remember, Jesus told parables. And actually, when he told a parable, it was sort of outlandish. You know, he was making a point. He was always trying to get us to go, ooh, that's, would that really happen? Would it happen that way? Don't know. But he's making it very clear. He's communicating something to us. And I hope that I can communicate what I believe that he was saying to us. Beginning of verse 11 of chapter 15 of Luke, it said, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living." Now, let me just stop. As I said, I'm going to make comments as we go along here. First and foremost, that would never have happened. The father would not have given the inheritance to the son, and it just would not have happened. So he's making a really big statement here. He's getting their attention. And it says that after many days, the younger son gathered all and journeyed to a far country. Say again, he did what? He basically said, "I don't want to have anything to do with you, father. I don't have anything to do with your country. I don't want to have anything to do with family. I don't want to have anything to do with your God. I am out of here. I'm going to do my own thing." Now, again, that just wouldn't have happened in this culture. Probably wouldn't happen in our day in culture either. It's just not good. And so this younger son just basically said, "I'm out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Give me the portion that falls to me." And so he said he did, and he's wasted his possessions there with prodigal living. Verse 14 says, "But when he had spent all there, arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine." Now, just picture with me, you understand, swine, they were an unclean animal. So to Jews, this is the worst thing. It could have been... feeding sheep, could have cows, could have been the donkeys, no, swine. So Jesus is making a point here. He is making it as bad as it could get for this young son who wasted all of his possessions. And here he is, he's in bad shape. Obviously, he's lost everything that he has. And feeding sheep, there couldn't be a lower job. Now, I mean, feeding swine, I'm sorry, could not be a lower job. I grew up on the farm. We had hogs. We had cattle. We had sheep. We had different animals. My dad primarily farmed, and we had row crops. My uncle did have a lot of different animals, but we did have some pigs. They are nasty, and I mean, they really are. They're nasty. They wallow, get muddy. They're just nasty. I can still smell pigs, and I can tell that is a smell that is distinct. Horses are distinct, cattle are distinct, but I can still smell. Even when I read this, I think, oh my gosh, goodness, that is terrible. And in verse 16, as he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" And basically what he said, you know what repentance is? Repentance is basically to change the way you think. The New Testament repentance is not just feeling bad about sin. It's changing the way you think. I was thinking incorrectly. He changed the way he thought. He said, "Look, my father's servants got it better off than I do." Verse 18, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. The reality is that this son is acting like an orphan. He is feeling completely estranged. I can't imagine what he would really, I can't imagine what's going through his head, because he's squandered and lost everything. He has nothing. I mean, you're not in the field feeding swine if you've got anything left. I mean, that's the bottom of the barrel, the worst job. Nothing, at that point in time, you couldn't have any worse than slopping pigs. I mean, that's really what they used to call it. The bottom line is, he is just completely undone. And he comes to himself. He comes to his senses. And he goes, my servants, my father's servants have it better than I do. I'm going to go, and I know he rehearsed this. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So in verse 20 says, he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, I don't know. I remember reading this the very first time. I'm just going, wow, I cannot imagine. So first I want to talk about the son. It says he went to a faraway country. He's been feeding swine. You know there's no Motel 6 to stop and clean up. I mean, the boy is nasty. He is dirty. He is filthy. He's got nothing. And all the way he's going, Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your sons. He's practicing, rehearsing it. All of a sudden, he's getting close to home, and he sees his father running to him. I don't know about you, but I would have thought, I'm getting ready to get killed. He is going to kill me. I have squandered his money. Here I am. I mean, nasty. He is absolutely going to kill me. So I'm putting you in the father's position. The father saw him from a long way off. What was he doing? The father was looking for his son. He was wanting him to come home. Isn't that amazing? So the father runs up to him, and here's what he says. He ran and fell on his neck and began to kiss him. Please hear me. That old boy was dirty. I mean, he was not in shape to be kissed and hugged on. And I'm just telling you, it's unbelievable. Because, see, that's exactly how we see ourselves. And the Father sees us differently. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this story is about Father. It's not about son, prodigal living. No, it's about his Father. He's our Heavenly Father. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father. He is looking for us. He can't wait for us to change the way we think and turn to him. He can't wait to embrace us. Now, again, please hear me. Old boy is dirty. He is filthy. He's been feeding. You can't feed pigs and not smell like pigs. It's just impossible. There's no way. I don't know what a far journey was, but he had to walk. Because he lost everything. So I don't know what that is, but that's a long way to be nasty and dirty. And the father comes and runs and starts kissing him. And here's the son. I'm sure the son's trying to break away, saying, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. What does the father do? He never acknowledges it. Not once. He turns and says, hey, go bring the best robe. Go get a ring, bring sandals, put it on his feet, and go kill that fatted calf. We're going to have the party. I don't know if you get how impactful that would have been. I'm sure that son is completely shell-shocked. He's rehearsed how he's unworthy. He's rehearsed how he's not worthy to be called his son. He's rehearsed how he sinned against heaven and Father. And here he is, the Father, embracing him. And when he says something, he's obviously wanting a response. No, no response. Go get a robe, put the robe on him, put a ring on his finger, put the sandals on his feet, and go kill the fatty calf. It's like, what? What just happened? Well, this is what happened. This is how the Father sees us. He sees us as filthy and unclean. But instead of us trying to clean ourselves up, he says, put the robe on him. That's the robe of righteousness that God puts on us. See, he doesn't just cover our sin. He really forgives us. But the reality of this picture is that no matter how filthy, no matter how dirty, no matter what we've been involved in, no matter what we've done, no matter what's been done to us, he sees us as a son or a daughter, and he puts that robe on us. And I mean, we didn't clean ourselves up, and he didn't clean us up. He completely forgiven us, and we've been made righteous, not because of what we do, because of who he is. And we've been completely clothed in robe of righteousness. And he says, put a ring on his finger. The ring signifies family. He said, you're my son, my daughter. The ring actually signifies the ability to do business in the name of the Father and the family. Now, I've got a son, and I'm not, if he'd gone off and done this, I'm not sure I'd want him doing business after he'd lost everything. But the Father, see, this picture is what God has done for us. The Father is a picture of our Heavenly Father. And he's saying, look, it's not about what you've done. It's about what I'm doing to you. It's about what I've done for you. It's about what I'm doing now. It's not about what you've done. I'm going to change your life. You're going to be my son. You're going to live in that righteousness. And then said, put those sandals on his feet. Folks, I can't imagine how nasty those feet were. But I mean, he's been feeding swine and pigs. And like I said, they don't call it slopping hogs for nothing. It is nasty. And walking in all that he's walked in and walked all that distance, said, no, put those sandals on him because he's my son. And I'm going to gird him up. And he is going to be everything that I've called him to be. Completely restored, completely brought into the family. Because that's what he's done for us. He's completely forgiven us completely. He's made us righteous. It's not based on our works. It's all based on his works. Everything that he did, he chose us. He called us. He died our death. Everything he did was for us to be completely forgiven. And it's not based on your performance. It's based on his performance. There's nothing you can do to clean yourself up. You can only receive and embrace what he has done for you. And this is what the younger son, so they're going to have a party. Verse 24 says, for my son was dead and alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and he came to draw near to the house. He heard the music and dancing. He called one of his servants and asked those things meant. He said, well, your brother has come, and because he's received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Now, understand, the fatted calf was always kept for celebrities, always kept for dignitaries. It was always kept for some very, very, very special occasion. They didn't eat that calf all the time. They kept this calf for special occasion. Well, the older brother was angry. He wouldn't go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Isn't that amazing? See, our father is looking for us. Our Father comes to us. See, we think we're going to him. We think if people say, I found Jesus. No, Jesus found you. You finally stopped running and yielded to him. And so the older brother, he was angry, wouldn't go in. Father came out, pleaded with him. And so he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might be merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. Now, just a couple of comments here. Number one, you realize that we can be like the older son. He's very religious, but he's still an orphan. You can still be in church. You can even know Jesus, but still be an orphan. He's an orphan. He's living in his home. He's got everything, but he's still an orphan. He's never fully embraced everything that Jesus has done for him. And we can do the same thing. We can go to church. We can be in church. We can recite scripture. We know these things, but we still don't know him as our Father and really a loving Heavenly Father. And he said, look, I've been serving you. That's what we feel like. Look at all the stuff I'm doing. See, it's not about our doing. It's about his doing. It's not about what we've done, could do, might do, should have done, ought to be doing, or doing. It's all about what he's done for us. It's a gift. It's a gift. And he wants us to receive that gift. And he said, I never transgress your commandments any time. You never gave me a goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who devoured your livelihood with harlots. Let me stop here. How did he know that? We didn't read anything about that. He said he wasted his money with prodigal living. But he didn't say anything about, we didn't read anything about harlots. How does he know that? See, the reality is the father has always been checking on us. He was always checking on that son. He had servants probably checking him and see what was going on. And they probably came back and told him, said, you're not going to believe what that boy's doing. But at the same time, father never accused, never brought that up, never brought up the past to the younger son, not once. Now, he bringing it up, he said, well, he wasted your money with harlots. You killed a fatted calf for him. When you're religious and we don't really know the love of the Father, it's hard for us to understand. You forgave him. You released him completely. That's not right. They need to pay. And we have a tendency to want to, you know, look what I'm doing. I'm doing so much for you. I should be rewarded for what I'm doing. No, this is about amazing Heavenly Father who loves us so much. He gave us the greatest gift there could ever be. He laid his life down. He gave us and forgave us the debt we couldn't pay completely. Doesn't bring up the past. Doesn't he mention it? He's just saying he wants us to know him. And so he said to him, I love what this says. The father said in verse 31, son, still calls him son, you are always with me. See, he's promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Isn't that amazing? You may think, oh, boy, I'm not sure you're with me when I did some of this or did that or did it. No, he promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. We are his sons, his daughters. You're always with me. Wow. And all that I have is yours. Isn't that amazing? Now, I want to pray for us because he says this is right that we should be celebrating. But I just want to tell you, a lot of us watching right now are still orphans. Either we've estranged from Father or we're trying to serve Father and doing work and working for him. But the reality is that I'm going to pray that God would give us a revelation of his love, a revelation of who he really is, a revelation of how good he really is. Because I'm telling you, none of us are walking in the fullest, complete comprehension and apprehension of how good God really is. He is so much better than we can imagine. He is so much better. So wherever you are, I'm going to pray that God would break, really, that orphan and that orphan thinking off of our lives. So Father, we love you, and we thank you so much that, Lord, this is a story to reveal how good you are. And Lord, we've been all those. Lord, I've been the prodigal, and Lord, I've been the son that there and trying to do everything to please you. But Lord, I want to receive your love in the fullest measure. I want to know you, not know about you. I want to embrace everything that you've done for me. And I'm asking, Lord, that for all of us, that you would break that orphan spirit, that orphan mindset, that separates us from you, that causes us to feel either inadequate or causes us to feel like I'm doing everything for you. Lord, I pray you break that thing. Lord, we want to be true sons and daughters. We want to live in relationship with you. We want to live in a way that, Lord, that knows your love and that is not just an intellectual awareness, but, Lord, that we would experience your love, that from the tip of our toes to the top of our head, you'd fill us with your presence and fill us with your love. And we just say, come, Father. Come, Lord Jesus, fill us to overflowing in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord, and we bless you, and we thank you so much that you have loved us. You do love us, and you will always love us. Now, I just encourage you to pray right now and say, Lord, I want to know you as you really are. I want to know your love. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to just release the love of the Father to each and every one of us and help us to walk in the fullness of the complete acceptance that's in you. Help us to know not only your love, but understand that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we ask you to help us to fully embrace that and walk in it in a day-by-day basis in relationship with you. Now, I just encourage you, if you've been watching this, you pray yourself and say, help me, Lord. I want to walk in the full embrace of your love. I want to walk in the absolute complete forgiveness. I want to walk as a son, walk as a daughter. I want to know not just about righteousness, but I want to experience your righteousness. I want to experience that identity as a son or daughter. And really, I want to have a walk that's worthy of you, fully pleasing you, and bearing fruit in every good work. Father, we love you. We bless you. And we just thank you so much for your amazing love. We love you. We bless you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for watching. I pray that I just encourage you to go back and forth and read this and read this because it is so important. We have a great Heavenly Father. He loves us. He's demonstrated his love when we were still sinners by going to the cross and dying. And I just want to encourage you to continually not only just receive his love, embrace his love, and then say, Lord, keep filling me up so that the more we look like him, act like him, the better we're going to be a blessing to those around us. So God bless you. Thank you for watching. And thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for watching this series. We have a number of series. I want to ask you to go to our website, Advanced Biblical Foundations. We've got a number of things there, and I encourage you everything we've got, I'd encourage you to watch. Watch it, and then lead a group. Lead some people. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody or it's your home. But whatever, you get so much more out of everything by first watching what's being shared and then taking it, showing it, and then discussing it and then wrestling with it. The Word of God is living. There's never an end to it. It's just alive because Jesus is the Word. So I pray it's a blessing to you. I encourage you to go to our website. And if it's a blessing to you, tell somebody else about it. Get somebody else to watch. Encourage people. Go here to this website. If it's a blessing to you, I encourage you to help us financially. It would be great. The more that we're able to produce and to translate into various languages, print into various books, all takes money. And Ben, we appreciate your helping so that we can help others. So God bless you. Thank you so much. And just be blessed as you get into the Word and let the Word get into you.